Bless the Lord again, Church. We are
Bless
so glad to be together again in another service as we lift up the name of our Savior Jesus. He is good.
Amen.
And his mercy endures forever.
Bless
so
God.
Glad to be in the women's meeting this morning. They are responsible for the service today in the Apostolic Church. And so glad to be part of the presentation on this first Sunday of the year for them. Normally, as was said, the first Sunday of the Sunday in January that is allotted to them, which is the last Sunday, is the first Sunday that they get a chance to present the Word of God. And I'm glad to know that I am in here and I will be presenting a word from the Lord to all of us on behalf of the women's department. I'm so glad for the women's department that have worked so hard over the years, continue to lift up the church and continue to do whatever it is in order to see things work right. God bless the women's department of this church, and we trust that we will continue to work together as we lift up the name of our Lord. So glad to have with us Tim, as he told me last night that he was going to call in. So glad that you're here with us. Trust that the Lord will give you your portion of blessing as we work together. Thank you for those kind words, Sister Bernice, and we trust that God will continue to bless you, my sister. Hallelujah. God is good, and his mercy endure it forever. Praise the Lord. I'd just like to share something to us from the passage that was read, and that is Acts chapter 16, 13 to 15, and then the last verse in Acts 16, which is verse 40. I'd like to speak to us under the topic, the work of an open heart, or the works of an open heart. It is so important for us to really spend some time in our system to discover the different things that went on there. And in order to help us to advance our own set of ministry, our relationship with the Lord, it is always important that we really read God's word. This morning, I am glad to be here with the brethren from the church, and not only the sisters, but all the men folks that have come to support the sisters today. I want to say welcome to the church, and may the Lord continue to bless you. Amen. The topic, the works of an open heart. This passage tells us a number of things. We realize from this passage, if you read earlier on, you will discover from verse 9 that the Apostle Paul received a vision, and in that vision, somebody from Macedonia came to him and said, come over and help us. And as a result of that vision, he decided that he's going to move immediately. So he and his companions, they pack up all that they were doing and then move to Macedonia, where the call came from. And we realize from verse 13, after reaching there, that the apostle wanted some way to worship, want a church to worship, so to speak. In those days, they called them synagogue. Want a place to worship. But when he inquired and looked around, there was no such place available in Macedonia, in Philippi. And the only place that he was told off was by the sea or by a river, where women gathered from time to time to have prayer on that particular day. And so he moved on to that prayer meeting. And I want to say here to all of us that prayer meetings in churches in general, prayer meeting is one of the less or one of the least attended service. And for some reason, people don't seem to believe that prayer meeting is as important as it should be. They will attend the Sunday morning services, but when it comes to prayer meeting, Sister Brown will go. Brother John will be there, so I don't necessarily have to be there. So they play down the prayer meetings in most churches. But I want to inform the church this morning that prayer meeting service in the church is one of the most powerful meetings that the church can ever conduct. Let me emphasize that. The prayer meeting in the church is one of the most powerful meetings that we could ever attend. And I am glad to this morning to report to you and to remind you, and of course each time that I touch this subject, I sound like a broken record. I am glad that the Apostolic Church in America have some committed sisters who recognize prayer as important and vital towards the development of the work. At a time when most people are sleeping in the night, starting at 11 o'clock, there are sisters in the church who have bound themselves together and decide to meet with the Lord at that time to pray for the work and to pray for people and to lift up the name of Jesus in prayer. We call it burning the midnight oil. And I bless God for these sisters in the church who have continuously meet at 11 o'clock at night and worship God and pray to the Lord for this work and for others who are in need of prayer. And on Tuesday nights at 7:30, Alternative Tuesday, we have Pastor Fiani conducting the general prayer meeting service in this church. We believe in a place called prayer. We believe in prayer. The word tells us that we should come boldly to the throne of grace, where we can find mercy and grace in time of need. Prayer meeting is one of the most powerful meetings in the church. So the Apostle Paul, having no synagogue to go to, he found the sisters praying along the riverside. And why is it that they were meeting there? Because we continue to talk about we would like to see more men in this church. And of course it's true. And we would like to continue to mention it so that others will invite men to our company. But the reason why these sisters were meeting by the riverside is because they did not have a quorum of 10 men, 10 men to form a synagogue. In those days, it required 10 adult Jews, men who are committed to God to form a synagogue. And there were not as much as 10 men to be found. Hence, the sisters decide that they want to worship their God and they meet at the river. The word want, you will see the word want in verse 14. In verse 13, the word want, it means continuously. It means habitually. It means constantly. They constantly go to the river to have prayer meeting. The apostle heard as he landed over in Macedonia that prayer was going on up there. And he went there to join in this prayer meeting. And I want to say to all of us here this morning, the Lord visits the prayer meetings where two or three are gathered together. He promised that he is going to be in the midst. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So I want to say to all of my sisters this morning, for the good work that you have been doing over many years, continue to do it. Because each time that you meet together, the presence of the Lord is there. These sisters have been meeting a long time in prayer meeting, in the special, in the open air. And it would seem as if nothing was happening. Until this day. This day when the Lord sent his servant to be among them. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And the word tells us that while he was there, he ministered. He spoke about Jesus. He spoke about the resurrection. He spoke about faith in Jesus. He spoke about grace. The word tells us that while he was there ministering, the Lord opened the heart of one of the sisters. That sister's name is Lydia. While he was here, and it is interesting that we remember this, that the Lord, that the word tells us that Lydia listened. The word said in verse 14, that she heard us. She heard us. And this is one of the things that goes on in church. Sometimes we come to church and we are just there, but we are not listening to what the preacher is saying so that the word can come to our heart. But here in verse 14, we are told that she heard us. Lydia heard the words that was coming from God's servant. And as a result of hearing the word, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. We need to remember that. And while that was happening, the word tells us that in a prayer meeting, friends, the least regarded service in the church, in a prayer meeting, the presence of the Lord was rich. Hallelujah. And the Lord opened the heart of Lydia, one of the sisters that was here. How did the Lord open her heart? How did the Lord open her heart? We are told here from Hebrews chapter 4. Let's see what Hebrews chapter 4 has to say to us. And verse 12. holding her heart open. Listen, we just mentioned that she listened to what Paul was saying. So Hebrews chapter 12, 4, I beg your pardon, Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12 said to us, "For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." That is what happened to her on that particular day, as Paul ministered. The word of God penetrates her heart. The word of God divides her heart. The word of God discerns her thoughts. Right there, as God's servant ministered to her, the word of God was working inside of her. And as a result of that, God opened her heart by the word spoken by his servant. We're told the first message to the church in Acts chapter 2, as Peter was ministering to a big company of people, we're told that they were pricked in their heart by the word that was spoken. Pricked in their heart. Prick in the heart mean the word was able to penetrate the heart. And what was the result? They asked the question, "What shall we do? What shall we do?" And Peter said, "Repent. Repent." To repent means a change of heart. Change of heart. As the word powered by the blessed Holy Spirit penetrates the heart, it calls for repentance. We are also told in Luke chapter 24 that there were two disciples going to Emmaus. And while they were going, Jesus joined them without them knowing that it was Jesus. And as they were telling the stranger about what happened in Jerusalem, the stranger said to them, "You are slow to believe the scriptures." And the word tells us that the stranger decide to expound to them what the Bible said from Genesis and the prophets concerning himself. And when eventually they discover who the stranger was, when they reach Emmaus, they said to one another, "Didn't our heart burn within us while he spake on the way?" Did not our heart burn? The words penetrates the heart and creates a change. That's what happened to Lydia. And as a result of she receiving the word of God, she had what is called a open heart. Every one of us here as believers, at one point or the other, our hearts were open. Open to the goodness, open to the mercies, open to holiness that comes from God. Because the word has reached our heart and it makes a difference. So we too are open heart people worshiping God. But Lydia, out of a prayer meeting, friends, out of a prayer meeting, I would like to say to all of us, God, the presence of God makes a difference. So next time you hesitate to join a prayer meeting, I want you to just remember this passage of scripture, that it was out of a prayer meeting that God intervened in the life of a sister and changed it for the better. We also told in Acts chapter 13 that out of a prayer meeting, God called Paul and Barnabas for the first missionary journey. Out of a prayer meeting, as they fasted and prayed, the Holy Ghost said, "Separate unto me Barnabas and Paul for the ministry whereunto I've called them." Out of a prayer meeting, and I want to emphasize a prayer meeting. Don't want to embarrass my wife, Sister Judy. But I want to tell you, not everyone can manage the midnight oil prayer meeting, the 11 o'clock to 12. Sometimes I come home from work and the prayer meeting is going on and it appears as though she's sleeping. And I believe every now and then, some of you who attend that prayer meeting have the same feeling too. It calls for commitment to be there at the throne of grace at that time of night. These sisters in this church, they have committed themselves to seek God on behalf of his work at that time of night and to seek God for others who are in need of prayer. It comes out of a open heart that God is able to pour revelation in that caused them to be there at that time. And I bless God for them. Hallelujah. Now, as we watch this passage of scripture here, Acts chapter 16, we're going to go into verse 15. And there are three things that we see. If you look very closely in Acts chapter 15, in Acts chapter 16, verse 15, there are three things that are there that we're going to take a little look on. And the first one is, listen to what this section says. And when she was baptized and her household, I stop there for a minute. And when she was baptized and her household, remember now, God has just opened her heart so that she could understand the word of God and what God is saying. God has no open her heart. And what is coming out of that open heart? What is it that is now flowing from a heart that is open? Well, the first thing that we see here that flows from the heart that is just hope, that was just open, is the Lord opened her heart, and she now opens her mouth. The Lord opens her heart, and she now opens her mouth. The word said, and when she was baptized, and her household. Hallelujah. Now we need to understand that all of this did not take place on the same day. All of this did not take place on the same day. If you continue to read the rest of Acts from 16, God, you will find out that all of these things happen over a period of time. Certainly not all up and on the same day. But I remember something that Jesus said. Jesus said in, I think it was Matthew, Jesus said something to us here in Matthew chapter 10. No, Mark chapter 5, verse 19. Jesus said something which is very important. And it is, Jesus went into an area, and there was this man who was possessed with demons. And Jesus cast out those demons. And as a result of casting out the demons, and the man became whole. He was in his right mind. He came and wanted to follow Jesus. And while that is a good thing, but Jesus turned and said to him, look, go back home. Go back home and tell your friends about the good things that the Lord has done for you. Jesus said, go back home and tell your friends about the good things the Lord has done for you. Lydia had been receiving an open heart from God. She now opened her mouth and start witnessing. And I believe all of us here, this is something that we should always do. And that is witness, testify to the goodness of God in our lives. We should open our mouth and tell others about who Jesus is and what he has done. And I can see that many in this church have been doing that, especially in recent times. And I bless God for you. And I trust that more of us will do it. Open your mouth. Because God has opened our heart. And tell somebody what Jesus has done. As a result of Lydia telling her household about the goodness of God, about the fact that God had opened her heart to understand the scriptures, her household also believed, repent, and they were baptized. The apostle is not going to baptize somebody that is not saved. We don't baptize people unless they are saved. As a result of Lydia's household, as she went back and explained to them what God has done, they too believe, and they were baptized. Then you remember Joshua. Joshua challenged the people around him. And Joshua challenged them and said, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Lydia not only received a open heart, but as a result of receiving this open heart, she now opens her mouth in witnessing. Witness about the goodness of God. And I believe this is one of the things that our sisters are going to do during the course of this year. We are going to encourage them to open their mouth in witnessing. Witness to everybody. Witness about the goodness of Jesus. Witness. Tell a testimony. Give a testimony. Share the love of God. Those whom you come in contact with. And then the second thing that we see here from the from verse 15 is she besought us, saying, if ye adjudge me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house. Listen to that. Verse 15. She besought us, after she was baptized and her household, she besought us, saying, if ye have judged me to be faithful to the Lord. In other words, if you believe that my conversion is genuine, my heart was really opened by the Lord himself. If you judge that to be correct, come into my home. So we find not only that the Lord opened her heart and she opened her mouth, but she's now opening her door. She's opening the door of her house to God's servants. Come in to my house. I want to have more of you. I want to listen to more to what you have to say. I would like you to have prayer meeting in my house. I would like to learn more about the Lord. Come in to my house. And she would never take no for an answer. If you continue to read the rest of it, you discover that she refused to take no from them for an answer. Come in to my home. What an interesting thought. Come in to my home. Listen to what Matthew chapter 10, verse 41-42 says to us. He that receiveth a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward. And he that receiveth a righteous man in the name of a righteous man shall receive a righteous man's reward. And the Lord is so determined here that if you did not get the first part of it, listen to what the Lord continues to say here. Verse 42. And whosoever shall give a drink unto one of these little ones a cup of cold water, only in the name of a disciple, verily I say unto you, he shall in no wise lose his reward. The Lord speaking here. So the Lord said, if you receive a prophet in your home, if you receive God's servant, a prophet in your home, God is going to see to it that you get a prophet's reward. Hallelujah. If you receive a righteous man in your home, the Lord is going to make sure that you receive a righteous man's reward. But here, O God, generalize it. Here, O God, generalize it. If you, in the name of Jesus, give to one of the least of God's servants, not necessarily a prophet, not necessarily a preacher, but a servant in general, any church member who is a member of the body of Christ, the Lord said, even a cup of cold water, if you remember to give to that person in my name, in the name of a disciple, you will receive a reward. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So Lydia said to the apostle, if you judge me to be faithful, come into my house and see. Lydia don't have to be a prophet. Lydia don't have to be a minister of the gospel. But based on the guarantee that is here, and based on the work that she is doing, She is going to receive a prophet's reward or a righteous man's reward. I release the reward for offering somebody a cup of cold water. The work of an open heart. The work of an open heart, saints. You know, we're reading in 2 Kings chapter 4. We read a story there. And it is very important. 2 Kings chapter 4. I think from verse 8 go down. There was a servant of God by the name of Elisha. And he would go to Shunem almost every day. But before he reached there, the path, a great woman, the Bible describes her. He had to pass her house. And one period of time, the woman discovered that this man is passing there. She invited him to have bread. Quite a number of times, she invited him to come in and have bread with us. And when she perceived, the word said, she perceived that this is a man of God. She rushed to her husband, and she said to her husband, look, I wonder if we can put together and put on a little extension on the house. Build a little extension on the house. And because I perceive that the man that passed here all the time and come in and have bread with us, I perceive that he's a man of God. And the husband must have said yes. But the next thing we heard from the scripture is that a bed was placed in there. A little cot was placed in there. A table was placed in there. A candlestick was placed in there. And she invited the man of God to come and take up residence in her house. Agreed by her husband. And when Elisha was invited to come and live there, not only eat now, but to live there, Elisha said to his servant Gehazi, find out, what is it that we can do for this woman after she was so good to us? So Gehazi asked her, what is it that you'd like us to do? And then Elisha did say, can we put in a word for you to the king or some other man? She said, no. But Gehazi also said to Elisha, she has no children. Her husband is old. That is what the word said. And the servant of God, Elisha, invited her to come. And she stood at the door. And Elisha said to her, look, I understand you have no children. By next year this time, you are going to have a son. And the woman did not believe him. She said, why should you lie to me, my master? Why should you lie to me? Elisha said, by next year this time, you are going to have a son. And next year this time, the woman had a son in her arm. Based on the word of God. She put up the prophet of God and not only waited until death in glory to receive a reward, but she starts receiving reward immediately. She who did not have any children as a result of putting up the servant of God becomes pregnant and bore a son unto her husband. Based on the word of God. The servant of God living in her house because she thought, she perceived, he's a man of God. Hallelujah. You know, I believe every church should have a Lydia. Every church should have a Lydia. In our church, we have a Lydia. In the Apostolic Church in America, we have a Lydia in the person of Sister Russell. We have a Lydia. Pastor Carr, who founded this work, will testify if he was alive now. The goodness that he has received from our Sister Russell, because she opened her door. She opened her door to the servant of God. Hallelujah. God opened her heart and she opened her door to the servant of God. And not only Pastor Kahar, if Sister Bassett was alive, Sister Bassett would tell you the goodness that she had received from the sister by she opening her door to her. I myself can testify boldly this morning the goodness that I have received from this sister simply because she opened her door. Hallelujah. Pastor Fianna have testified. Move on again. The goodness and blessing he has received from Sister Russell. Why? Because God opened her heart and she opened our door. I want to say to us, when God opens your heart, he is going to allow good works to flow through it. The Apostle Paul ministering and said in Ephesians chapter 2 verse 10, where he said, we are saved unto good works. We are God's workmanship created unto God for good works. We are not saved by good works. But as a result of we being saved, we produce good works. It comes from an open heart in a prayer meeting as we have here. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And Lydia opened her door to the servant of God, to let the servant of God come in and find a place to lodge and be comfortable, for she opened her door to him and his companion. Why did this happen? Because out of a prayer meeting, out of a prayer meeting, God opened her heart. Not only that, we see where, as a result of God opening her heart, she opened her mouth by witnessing. And then she opened her mouth or her door by allowing God's servants to come in. But listen to what the rest of the verse have to say to us. 15. She besought us, saying, if ye have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house. Listen to the next section of it. And abide there. And abide there. What do you mean abide there? It means that she was not just inviting the servant of God to come into the house, but she expected to stay there. And to stay there requires she having resources to keep him there. So she not only opened her mouth, she not only opened her door, but she's now opening her hands. She's now opening her hands to the servants of God. We are told In Luke chapter 8, while Jesus, and you heard me allude to that in prayer this morning, when Jesus was here, along with his disciples, and moved from villages to villages, ministering and healing and doing all sorts of good things to the people, we are told that he was surrounded by a company of women who have, out of their own resources, out of their own pockets, maintain Jesus and the disciples. Provide for them that which was necessary to keep them going, out of their own resources. The woman. Abide. She said, not only that I want you to come into my house, I want you to abide there. Meaning, she's now going to furnish them with meals. She's going to help to keep them clean. She's going to make sure that every need that they have is met as far as her resources will take her. And yes, I must admit that this woman could be considered somebody wealthy. She was trading in purple during those days. If you trade in purple, it is a statement. It is a very important statement that you are financially independent. And that is what happened to her. She invited the servants of God in her home, and she furnished them with all that is necessary to keep them comfortable. She opened her hands. If God open your heart, open your hands. Come on, believers. Open your hands and give to God's work. Open your hands and give to God's people. It is good works flowing from an open heart. Lydia set an example there by doing these three things, which are so important. But the thing that really gets me here is the fact that if you put up a prophet, you will get a prophet's reward. If you put up a preacher, you will get a preacher's reward. Not only in this life are you going to be rewarded, but in the life to come. Anybody remember what Matthew 25 said to us? Matthew 25 tells us a number of things here. That I was in prison and you visit me. I was hungry and you feed me. I was naked and you give me clothes. And then the question was asked, when did I see you to administer all these things unto you? And the Lord said, as much as you have done this, these my servants, you have done it unto me. Hallelujah. Revelation can pour into a open heart. If the heart is locked up, then there is no way that you can receive revelation. But Lydia's heart was open, and she was able to receive revelation from Almighty God that not only enriched her, but it helped her fellow man around her. The revelation that comes into a heart that is opened by the Lord. I invite you to seek God, that God will open your heart. If it is not yet open. Remember what the word said. She listened to what Paul was saying when Paul was preaching. As a result of she paying that level of attention, the Lord opened her heart. And remember what I've said before, that There was no synagogue there when Paul got there. That's why they were worshiping by the river. There was no synagogue. There was not as much as 10 men to be found there to start this. And you find that there was no church, so to speak. But let's look on something from 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Let's look on something as we're closing here. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, I read the first 5 verses. Moreover, brethren, we do you wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia. Have you seen that in your Bible? Bestowed on the churches of Macedonia. Remember, when Paul got there, there was no building. There was no church. There was no synagogue. He had to go out to the river where prayer was being made. But now, we are told of churches in Macedonia. How did it happen? It happened because somebody got an open heart in a prayer meeting. Let's read more. Verse 2. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 2. Oh, that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abound unto the riches of their liberty. For to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power, they were willing of themselves. Verse 4. Praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and token upon us. The gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering of the saints. Verse 5. And I love verse 5. And this they did, not as we hope, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God. This is important, saints. When Paul got there, there was no church. As a result of the ministry that he brought and the heart of the sister was open in the prayer meeting, we find churches now were established. Men start flow into the ministry. And so much so that churches were able to establish because God opened the heart of a sister. And Paul was saying that he received this gift to the Corinthian churches who were in need. He was asking for help from different churches in order to furnish the different needs of the Corinthian church. And Paul was saying, look, I did not expect you, the churches in Macedonia, to contribute to this because I know your poverty. I know that you don't have it. I know that you don't have it, but what you do have, and I know clearly, is a zeal for God. You first gave of yourself. That is to be found in verse 5. The first thing that they did was to give of themselves. And then they come together as a body, as a church, and they contribute what they could to the Corinthians' work. When you dig between the lines, what you discover is the generousness of Lydia. Lydia discovered that giving is a vital part of the ministry. And Lydia place that principle firmly into the churches in Macedonia and said, even though you might not be rich, but you must contribute to the work of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. As they put themselves first to God, they offer themselves first to God. And then as a result of that, they were able to make contribution to other churches because they want to see other churches strive. The whole experience, my brother, the whole experience, my sister, is coming out of a prayer meeting where the presence of the Lord was, that opened the heart of a sister. And in opening her heart, she received revelation concerning kingdom building. Hallelujah. And yes, Lydia's name was not mentioned after this. She's the first convert in Asia. But as a result of that, we know heard about all the churches and all the different denominations and work that is taking place in that region. It started with a woman whose heart had been opened in a prayer meeting. Final scripture I want to read to you. Final scripture. It is to be found in Philippians chapter 4. The apostle who was cast into prison for preaching the word of God, his hands were tied. He was in deep confinement. Listen to what he said as he's there. Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4, 15 to 17. Now ye Philippians, Paul wrote, now ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, meaning Acts 16, he was referring to, when I depart from Macedonia, no church communicates with me as concerning giving and receiving, but you only. Listen to that. Only you, the Macedonian churches, contribute to my need. For even in Thessalonica, ye sent once and again unto my necessity, not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. And jump down to verse 19. After he made that statement, or those statements, and commend the churches in Macedonia for applying to the needs that he have there in prison, for attending to him with such compassion and purpose. Listen to what he said in verse 19. But my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. As far as we learn, these were the last words that the apostle sent to the churches in Macedonia when he went there, and as a result of his preaching, God opened the heart of a woman sitting in a prayer meeting. I want to say to the women of this church, the sisters of this church who have seen something, these sisters have seen something. They are not just acting. They are not putting on a show. They have seen something, and they are working with a purpose. I'm saying to you this. As you continue to work with an open heart, that God has opened. See to it that you continue to pray. See to it that you continue to give. See to it that you continue to witness. See to it that you continue to show love. And the God of grace will call you for this purpose, will strengthen you, will encourage you, will give you a sense of purpose that you will continue to serve him in the same vein that you are serving, or even greater. These women that were having their prayer meeting all this time, over many years, nothing happened. Until one day, because God was watching them all this time. God was among them all this time. But one day, God decided to interject something new. And his own timing, and the sister, which was a regular member of that prayer meeting, God opened her heart. And as a result of God opening her heart, she opens her mouth and witness. As a result of God opening her heart, she opened her doors to God's servants to come and live with her. As a result of God opening her heart, she also opened her hands and she gave up the resources that she had, and she instructed the church, the churches that were established in that area, to embark upon a ministry of giving of your resources to the church, so that the work of God can strive. I trust we get this message that comes from the heart of God as to how he would like us to operate. The Lord bless you. Shall we pray? Father, I just bless your name this morning. And I just thank you for your wisdom. When we examine your word and see how you operate, we realize that the foolishness of God is wiser than men. We thank you for your wisdom on display, that you have brought into being something that will affect the work in that early period of the church, to the extent that the entire world is now benefiting from that move. We bless your name, Lord God. We thank you for those sisters down there who have started this prayer meeting. We thank you for the Apostle Paul and his life. We thank you for the different churches that was established in Macedonia as a result of this. And we thank you for their giving and support to other churches. And other churches too may come into the great vision of what you have in store for the rest of the world. Thank you for your sermon, the Apostle Paul, who was obedient to you to lose when he got that vision and go over into Macedonia. Oh Lord, we just bless the name, and we thank you for our sisters in this church who have worked over the years, who have worked so consistently in the different operations in order to see to it that the work goes on. We pray that you will enrich them with your presence, enrich them with your spirit, and cause the unity between them to become stronger and stronger and stronger every day, so that they will root for one another, They will support one another. They will be mindful of one another, because we are all in this together, lifting up the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.